Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The hot sun was going down in the west, making long shadows on the calm streets of Willowdale, a small American town. It felt like summer was coming, but for Emily Turner, who was in her late 20s, summer meant more than just sunny days. Emily was a lively and ambitious woman, married to Mark, a lawyer doing well in his career. They looked like a great couple, with their love story filled with lazy summer days and romantic nights under the stars. But Emily didn't realize that the summer of 2024 would reveal the problems in her seemingly perfect life. One hot afternoon, Emily got an invitation to the Willowdale Country Club Summer Gala. The event promised a night of music, dancing, and enjoying the summer. Unfortunately, Mark said he had to work and couldn't go. Disappointed but determined to have fun, Emily decided to go by herself. When she walked into the big ballroom, the warm breeze brought the smell of flowers. Emily's eyes met Jake Anderson's, a charming and mysterious guy. Jake, with his handsome and confident look, had a captivating charm that pulled Emily in like a moth to a flame. They danced under the sparkling lights, surrounded by music, like a warm summer night's hug. Emily felt unsure about her feelings as she was attracted to Jake, which made it difficult for her to stay committed to Mark. One evening, when Emily and Jake were alone, there was a tense atmosphere. The room felt smaller, and when their eyes met, they shared a connection that didn't need words. Amid strong emotions, Emily made a decision that would change her life.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
In a secret meeting, she told Jake about her feelings, and there was a lot of uncertainty in the air. When their fingers touched, it created a spark, making their hearts feel intense emotions. In the days that followed, Emily felt a mix of guilt and desire inside her conflicted feelings. Mark, unaware of the growing trouble, remained unaware. The secret relationship between Emily and Jake became more intense, reaching a point of undeniable closeness. Lost in each other, Emily and Jake's lives collided, leaving them breathless after indulging in a forbidden passion. However, they didn't realize that the lies they were telling would eventually come to light, leading to unexpected consequences. The complicated mix of love, betrayal, and desire created a difficult situation for Emily, who now had to deal with the fallout of her significant choice. But there was a twist, as Emily didn't know that Mark wasn't working that night. Instead, he was at his workplace and spent his sweet moments in his quiet cabin with Melissa, a colleague. Their affair was a well-kept secret hidden behind Mark's successful career and Emily's trust. She didn't know that he was also cheating on her. As the summer night went on, Emily and Jake's connection got stronger. The air was charged with tension, matching the rising outside temperatures. They exchanged looks and shared secrets, and their laughter filled the night. Emily, caught up in the summer affair, felt a sense of freedom she hadn't felt in years. Meanwhile, on another day at the cabin, guilt troubled Mark as he tried to make sense of his actions and the image of the devoted husband he used to be. The summer air, once promising love, now felt heavy with the weight of betrayal. Days turned into nights, and Emily and Jake's secret relationship became more intense. They met in private, their hidden meetings reflecting the heat of the summer in Willowdale. The small town, unaware of the unfolding drama, continued enjoying the warm season. One crucial summer evening, Emily and Jake were at their usual spot, a quiet lakeside gazebo surrounded by fireflies, when Mark accidentally discovered their secret. Shocked and furious, he confronted Emily, asking for an explanation for her betrayal. The once magical summer night now felt tense and full of deceit. As the truth came out, Emily felt her heart sink. The summer affair, initially fueled by a desire for freedom and excitement, had turned into a web of lies that could unravel her entire life. Mark, torn between anger and heartbreak, left the gazebo, leaving Emily alone to face the consequences of her choices. The days that followed were a mix of emotions for Emily. The once lively and carefree summer had turned into a time of facing the consequences. The affair had brought a dark cloud over her life, and she struggled to put together the pieces of trust that were now broken. Hoping to find comfort, Emily turned to her best friend, Luna. They sat on the porch of Emily's lovely house, the warm summer breeze reminding them of the choices made and the consequences they brought. With tears in her eyes, Emily shared with Luna about the affair and the pain it had brought. At the same time, Mark also felt guilty when he saw his wife cheating on him, so he also shared about his affair. Both couples were disappointed with each other and thought to fix their issues. As the summer days went by, Emily and Mark had to decide whether to save their marriage or let it fall apart because of the betrayal. The season that was once joyful now felt heavy, always bringing back memories of the choices made during those hot, hazy nights. In the end, Emily and Mark decided to face the problems in their marriage. They went to counseling and talked honestly, trying to rebuild the trust that the summer affair had shattered. It was a tough and long process, but as the summer came to an end, a little bit of hope appeared on the horizon. The Willowdale Country Club Summer Gala, where the affair started, completed its cycle as Emily and Mark went together, holding hands. The air, still warm with the remaining touch of summer, carried the hope of redemption and renewal. The couple danced under the sparkling lights, their steps matching the rhythm of a love that had been challenged by the heat of a summer filled with deception.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so.
About 22 years ago, my mum got a frantic call from my uncle's best friend to say he had been arrested. Apparently, an ex-girlfriend had accused him of rape, but she was just being vindictive because he broke up with her. My uncle, Chad, is obviously innocent. We all love him. He is our charismatic, friendly, outgoing, loving uncle. He would never hurt anyone. The family all sent money for legal fees. They're in France and we're in South Africa. My best friend sends us all the updates, as no one ever thought to Google anything, so we're getting it from the source. He was found guilty, and the family was devastated, so we all sent money for an appeal. This went on for 2 years, and then we got the call that he had been found innocent and was released. After this, he met Lucy, who was originally from Canada.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lucy is lovely. Comes from money in a very big way. And my uncle is so charming. They were married in less than 8 months and had a huge wedding in France. Then suddenly they were having separate honeymoons. He was going to honeymoon in his home country, Namibia, and she was going to Canada. They would then meet up in Brazil. He stayed in Namibia for a couple of days, and then parted with us in South Africa. We teased him that he took his wife's surname, but he said that's what she wanted, and she's the boss. But then he cheated on his wife. I was floored. I had looked up to him all these years, and he had cheated on his wife on their separate honeymoons. I was disgusted. I saw him once after that, and he told me he was unhappy in his marriage, blah, 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 and that he now has 2 children. But I honestly couldn't care less. Then 6 years ago, I got a message from him, telling me he's getting divorced and is coming to South Africa. Could he crash on my couch? I said okay. I mean, he is still family. I hadn't seen him in maybe 10 years. Maybe he'd changed. He arrived and we had a blast. He hit it off with my fiancé, as he's so funny and happy, like a weight had been lifted off his shoulders. He told me that both him and his wife had been cheating, and the relationship was extremely volatile. They were always fighting and on edge, and were too toxic for each other. She was apparently a total control freak, and he's now on Tinder, hooking up, and on the prowl. He left us for a couple of months to travel around South Africa. It's an extremely beautiful and diverse country. Came back, and then he left again. We didn't mind. He was fun to have around. Then one of the weeks he was in town, he met my friend, Jane. Jane is a gorgeous, wild, fun, and out there woman, and they hit it off instantly. He asked her out for a drink, and she said yes. She told me the next day that they were having a great time, but they must have drunk a lot, because she can't remember much of the evening. She vaguely remembered Chad going home with her, and they must have had sex, but she just can't remember. Now this is not unusual behaviour for Jane. She has a chronic drinking problem. She'll get drunk and go home with men all the time. But I've learnt the hard way not to bring this up. Also, we're all 40 plus. I'm not going to start telling other adults how to live their lives, as I'm definitely no saint. 2 days later, Chad had to fly back to Namibia and called Jane from the airport. We were sitting together having lunch, and Chad said that he was so glad he had photographic mementos of their time together. She was confused. He then sent her all these nude photos of her, unconscious, laying on the bed and put in different positions. She just started crying. She didn't show them to me. I was sent them at a later stage. But she told him to delete them immediately, and he just laughed at her. She was furious and embarrassed, and started reflecting on the evening, trying to remember details. She dug through her handbag and found the receipt. Cheap asshole left his wallet at home. It read, 2 gin and tonic and 2 tequila. Definitely not enough to get a seasoned drinker blackout drunk. I was furious. Jane was furious. For some reason, I thought about his rape conviction and Googled his name. And oh my God, I wish I had done this 20 years ago. At the top of the Google search, Namibian rapist released from jail in political blunder. We read this article in silent shock. The truth. 2 years before being caught and convicted, he'd met a woman in a nightclub, drugged her drink, took her home, took naked photos of her, and then raped her. She went to the police the next day, and luckily there was DNA. Then 2 years later, he got arrested for drinking and driving, and when they took his DNA, bam, it was a match for the rape. They had all the surveillance footage and the photos on his phone. Easy conviction. Even though he had tried to convince the courts they were dating, and she was a jilted lover. Can I stop for a moment to puke? His story about being innocent and released is all BS. Some politician who was trying to make a name for himself decided to release 100 non-violent criminals. Chad got on the list somehow, and about 8 months later, they realized their mistake, rearresting him and extraditing him back to Namibia, hence the separate honeymoons. While in Namibia, he changed his name and took his wife's surname so he could get into Canada, as they don't take convicted felons. I told Jane we needed to go to the police, and she said absolutely not. She's dealt with the South African police with rape before, and it's worse than the actual event. I told her I knew someone, an ex-policeman who could help her, so we ended up getting into a huge fight, and she blamed me for introducing them. She'd had a couple of drinks on top of this devastating realization, slapped me on the face, and left the restaurant. I was beyond furious, and was feeling murderous towards Chad. I sent him a message saying that I know he had drugged and raped my friend, and I know about his real past. He is despicable and disgusting. And his response? I am so over your drama. Does this look like she is drugged? And then proceeded to send me all the naked photos of my friend. I was physically ill. No one wants to see photos of their friend like that. She'd refused to take my calls, and that day was the beginning of the end of our friendship. I was haunted by all of this. It consumed my thoughts day and night. So I decided to message his wife and said I was so sorry about her divorce and told her all the crap he had said about her. Now, are you sitting down? There was no divorce. They were having issues with his infidelity, but he promised it would never happen again. He had a therapist who had advised him that he should come to South Africa to find himself. I told her exactly how he was finding himself, and she broke down and told me everything, from him sexually harassing the live-in au pairs, hiding cameras in their bathroom to film them showering, getting one of them pregnant. There was a huge court case because he denied it was his and refused to take a DNA test, but the court made him take the test and he is the father. And she sent me all the affidavits, court papers, and reports from the therapists, etc. She also sent me screenshots of their conversations, message upon message of him saying how much he missed her and how this trip will save their marriage. He told her he missed her more and more every day, and all the while was telling us that she was crazy, abusive, controlling and cheating on him with his best friend. And spoiler alert, there is no therapist. He created a fake Gmail account and sent reports to his wife on his progress. The therapist basically said she must forgive him for his infidelity because he had had a traumatic childhood and he is actually a super nice guy. If I wasn't his therapist, he would be my best friend. I kid you not, that was in the report. I'm not sure if his wife was just really gullible or hopeful, but I saw it the minute I opened the first email. I mean, the idiot even made the same spelling mistakes and used the same colloquialisms. I plotted and I planned. What is the worst possible thing I could do to him? In South Africa, you could pay someone for anything.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
But I'm a big believer of karma, so I know I can't use any nefarious means. I then realized I had copies of all his documents, passports, Namibia and Canada, his IDs with his original name on them, bank statements, showing he had loads of money that he was supposed to be sending home to his wife. But before he left, he took the proceeds of a car they'd sold, and it was meant for the farm. But he told her he needed it for his sabbatical. He would flip the cars in South Africa and double the money. Then I remembered he'd changed his name and took her surname so he could get into Canada. So for about a year, I went backwards and forwards in my head. Do I report him to the Canadian immigration? What will be the repercussions? I was troubled and torn. I'm not a malicious person. I was still furious and felt like I needed to do something. I am a person of action. Then I heard he had done the same thing to someone extremely close to me, Annie, during the same period as Jane. She only remembered a year later, after extensive therapy. So I sat down in front of my laptop and wrote the most detailed, factual, devastating letter of my life. My hands shook the entire time. I put it all in there. The French rape with links to all the newspaper articles, screenshots of messages to me, showing he is distributing naked pictures without consent, which is illegal in South Africa, although there's not much enforcement, and a full timeline of his life, highlighting his name change to deliberately deceive the Canadian immigration. I made it very clear in my letter that his behavior had escalated without recourse. I didn't include the affidavits or correspondence from his wife, even though she knew of his deception. I didn't want her to get into trouble. I pressed send and got very drunk. It was 100% anonymous, so I never got a response. I just carried on my life and helped Annie get better. My friendship with Jane deteriorated beyond repair. She deliberately started dating my brother and has turned him against me. That's a whole other messed up story that I might have to write about one day when it stops hurting. I only told Annie about what I'd done, and I have kept it a secret for about 3 years. I know he's not been able to go back to Canada at all. He was banned for life. Part of me feels sorry for his kids, but a bigger part of me thinks I did them a favor, especially his daughter, who he had started sexualizing, saying things like, "Isn't she sexy for a 13-year-old? You can see the hot woman she will become," etc. The au pair that he got pregnant was only 18. I'm friends with his ex-wife on Facebook now, and she is very happy. She has a new guy, and the kids are happy. So if you got this far, thank you for reading.
This took place maybe around the age of 13. Let me set the scene. I had my first serious boyfriend, Sam. Sam was a nerdy kind of guy. We had met at church. When he had asked me out, I was over the moon, as another girl had been talking to him at the same time. I was flattered that he had chosen me. At the point in time this story takes place, I was having a lot of issues at home. I had attempted to take my life during my relationship and had a lot of issues with self-harm. My relationship with my parents was terrible, still is. That probably explains why I never told them any of this. Besides my personal problems, I'd say the relationship was running smoothly until Sam came into contact with Allison. I don't recall exactly when or where Sam met Allison. I believe it was at his air cadets. It's almost like she just appeared. Whenever Sam and I were going through a rough patch, he would talk to Allison and she would console him. It made me really uncomfortable at the time, being a jealous 13-year-old. Our key communication was over Skype, as he lived a good 40 minutes away from me. On average, I saw him twice a week. Once on a Saturday, in which I would catch 2 buses to his home, the second being at church on a Sunday. He would often tell me stories about his long conversations with Allison. How she was hilarious, but she didn't like me, although I had never spoken to her myself. I assume this was due to him mainly speaking to her during our childish arguments. I first came into contact with Allison during an argument with Sam. We were bickering about something unimportant, and a message popped up on my Skype. It was from Allison. I don't recall what exactly the message said, as this was in 2014, but I tried to gain access to my old Skype to go through the messages, but have not been able to. But I do remember her insulting me repeatedly and saying I didn't deserve Sam, and I should have died in regards to ending my life. I responded harshly, telling her to screw off or something of the sorts. Was it polite? No. I was extremely standoffish at this age. My response seemed to anger her. I was bombarded with call after call. I declined every single one. I reported to Sam what had gone on, and he said he had told her to leave me alone. All was good for a while. This didn't affect me too much. This was semi-normal for me, as high school relationship drama was almost an everyday occurrence at my school. Looking back on it, Sam was almost definitely cheating on me, but I was too naive and in childish love to care. My second incident with Allison was on a summer afternoon. I was relaxing on Sam's bed after an afternoon of messing around. He had gone to complete a chore in the kitchen and had left his computer on. I decided to check my Facebook and went to log in. On the screen was a chat with Allison. Being curious, I scrolled through the chat. I was greeted with an onslaught of naked images of her. This started a huge fight, as you can imagine. Sam said that she was just a jealous stalker girl. My third interaction with Allison was at my local library. Allison must have been 16 as she was completing some work experience at the time. I have and still am an avid book reader. I was there with my mother and sister when I saw her at the counter. She stared me down and it took me aback as I didn't recognize her to begin with. It then clicked. I was more annoyed than anything. I didn't pick up a book instead of opting to hang around my sister as she checked some books. Allison's eyes never left me. The time came to leave as Mum was wrenching the books out. She made small talk with Allison. I was surprised at how polite and well-mannered she was in comparison to the girl who had messaged me. I began to feel guilty for the way I had responded to her. Once at home, I hopped on my phone and wrote a message to her, apologizing for the way I had spoken to her. The message I received back from her was a different tone altogether. She started listing all these terrible names. She said I had no right to date Sam, and all I brought him was misery. This time her words really did affect me. I called Sam and begged him to never contact her again. I remember vividly sobbing and crying for hours. This happened a couple more times, each time escalating in severity. Threats to beat my lights out were sent. My mental health was greatly affected. I wasn't afraid of her, but more upset at the things she said. I never took a single threat seriously. To this day, I have no idea why Sam stayed in contact with her, and I began to avoid the library. My relationship with Sam continued. One day, I got into a large argument with my mother and called Sam sobbing. He consoled me and told me it was going to be all right. Impulsively, I decided to go for a run, leaving my phone at home. I wanted to be out of the home. I was gone for maybe an hour or two. I returned home to an onslaught of messages from Sam, deeply concerned for my well-being. I apologized and explained the situation, a reminder this entire time that I had not blocked Allison. She messaged me with the usual drivel. I was so used to her threats at this point it hardly fazed me. The same threat happened again. "I'll beat your lights out." Calling her bluff, I replied, "Well, go on then. You don't even know where I live." She replied with my address, and my heart skipped a beat. All the threats of violence were all too real now. I remember shaking uncontrollably. I sobbed down the phone to Sam. I begged him to block her and never to speak to her again. He continued to speak to her, although I never did. New girls appeared in her place, but none were as invasive as her. We ended the relationship after a year and a bit. In one of the messages I sent to him regarding our breakup, I spoke about Allison and his stalker girls. It's been a long time since then. Sam and I occasionally speak, and I'd say we are on good terms. He's in a band, and I'm studying still. At the time, I didn't realize the severity of her actions. The fact that she had gone onto the computer base at my library and searched for my address didn't pass my mind until many years later. It still sends shivers down my spine. What would she have been actually capable of doing, I'll never know. I truly hope no one finds out. I tried finding her online out of curiosity, to no avail. If she was capable of that amount of calculation at 16 years old, I wonder what she was capable of now. I hope this serves as a word of warning to parents to look out for their kids. I know this story may not be as severe as many on this subreddit, but I thought I'd share this terrifying tale.
We finally moved into our house, and everything was really quiet for the first 6 months or so. Our new neighbors told us that the previous owners moved after their son died in a motorcycle accident. After the first 6 months of peacefully living out in our new house, my dad died, but not in the house. And after that, stuff started to happen. I often had my friends sleep over, and during one such sleepover, my friend woke me up in the middle of the night and told me that she saw a young guy standing in the middle of the bathroom. So, I went and checked it out, but there was nothing. Over the last few years, all of my friends that slept over at my place said that they saw a small, poor, blonde guy walking about the house. We had a few other things that happened, like a wine glass that was on the counter broke without anyone touching it. It just shattered on the counter. Another time, during the winter, we had the heater on, and my room was always the warmest in the house, and it became ice cold as you walked across my bedroom to the bathroom that was connected. The creepiest thing that happened was when my boyfriend was sleeping on the couch. In the middle of the night, he woke up to a young guy pushing him off onto the floor. He said that the guy did not say or do anything, but at the time, my boyfriend knew that he had to leave, and he did. He wouldn't stay at my place after that incident either. Just to go into further detail about the glass, my mom had a huge collection of glassware of all types and sizes. The collection was so huge that there was no more space left to keep them anymore, so we just set them on the counter. The wine glass had been sitting there for a long time, though. It hadn't just come out of the dishwasher or anything like that. She placed it on the counter and there it stayed. And when it broke, no one was there.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
No one but me and my mom was in the house when it broke, and we were both at least 10 feet away from the glass. Could it have been a crack in the glass or any other rational reason for it to break like that? Maybe, but we were too startled at the time and thought it was really bizarre.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.